Worldviews in Conflict is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Jeff Myers of Summit Ministries, summit.org, for more information. He's also the author of a book upcoming, How Truth Changes Everything. Actually, it's not How Truth Changes Everything. It is just simply Truth Changes Everything. Dr. Myers, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be on the show with you. I always enjoy our conversation.
Me too. Okay, so what is a worldview and why does it matter?
Yeah, well, a worldview is a pattern of ideas. So you know that if you want to be successful in athletics, you look for the patterns of your opponent's play and then learn to respond to them effectively and so you can prevail. The same thing is true in the world of ideas. And so we call a pattern of ideas a worldview. And then what we believe about those ideas, and then we begin to act on and we live out our convictions, and that's when a worldview becomes really significant to us. So a pattern of ideas, beliefs, convictions, habits that help us make sense of God, the world, and our relationship to God and the world. Everybody's asking these worldview questions. So no one is without a worldview, Jerry, and this is the funny part. A lot of people think, oh, well, Christians, you guys are making a stand on something. You're making claims. I'm not making any claims, so therefore you have a worldview and I don't. No, everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a set of ideas about what they believe is really true and how we ought to live.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I write a weekly column, and somebody blasted me recently for a column that I had written where I was talking about how the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, you know, ultimately they were formed in a Christian milieu, and the prevailing worldview would be the Judeo-Christian views that the founding fathers had. I mean, even the more secular-minded founding fathers, they still knew the Bible, and they knew the Bible down to their fingertips, as one scholar once put it, Dr. Donald S. Lutz, on that particular quote. But comment about that. What was the prevailing worldview that was behind the Declaration and the Constitution versus what is the prevailing worldview in today's modern America among our elites?
I think you're right, and Donald Lutz's research as a political scientist is really powerful. He's the guy who examined 15,000 documents related to America's founding and discovered that the Bible was quoted more than all other sources put together. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the founders believed that the Bible was the way of salvation or that it accurately revealed God. But one thing that does seem to be pretty consistent, and I'm not talking about all the founding fathers, but I would say you mentioned the Declaration of Independence specifically. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 51 to 53 of them are known to have been believing Christians and members of Christian denominations. So it's hardly even a contest. You know, anybody who tries to make the opposite point is really flailing to make it based on any evidence whatsoever. But here's what they really believed. They didn't just believe that you want to take a little scripture here and a little scripture there to justify your viewpoint. They were looking back into scripture to discover what was the success of the Hebrew Republic. They did not believe that the Hebrews had a theocracy ruled by God. They believed that God had given the Hebrews a democratic republic, a constitutional republic, even if you will, one that would be where people would elect their officials to represent them in assemblies, and this is exactly what the Old Testament says, and then a judiciary that would be free and independent, and that's what our founders were really interested in looking at. And then secondarily, they would go to people like John Locke to discover what John Locke had to say about human nature. But they were mostly focused on, wow, what was it that made the Hebrew nation so incredibly powerful and successful in history, and how might we reproduce that in our own time?
Hmm. Okay, what is today's prevailing worldview among our elites?
Well, whereas, yeah, right. So the prevailing worldview of the founders was that there is a mind who created matter. Today, the prevailing view is matter created mind. That we don't really have the ability to access truth. If such a truth exists, we could never know it and we could never act on it. So whereas the founders believe there is such a thing as truth that can be discovered, if we discipline ourselves and work hard and study hard, the vast majority of Americans say they believe that truth is up to the individual, whereas the founders believe that you find truth by looking to history and the sources of great knowledge. People today say, if you want to find yourself, you look within yourself. Those are two hugely different worldviews. And the question still remains whether people who lack the kinds of convictions that the founding fathers had about the nature of truth can even sustain the sort of democratic republic that they gave us.
Could we lose the freedoms we enjoy as Americans if the present, you know, prevailing ethos dominates, you know, in the future, you know, ad infinitum?
If the present ethos remains, then we've already lost our freedoms. We just have not realized it yet. The sun has already gone down, but there are just enough rays of it left, just enough light left that we can still stumble around in the semi-darkness. And I, the reason I say that, Jerry, is because when you look at people who believe that truth is up to the individual, that there's no truth out there to be found, why would they believe in the Constitution? Well, the Constitution is just the opinion of the founding fathers. That has no bearing on us at all. Why would they believe that there should be a value to life? That's just the opinion of people who want to live and not die. Why should we pay any attention to them? You know, animals die in behalf of human beings. If human beings are simply animals, then why shouldn't other humans die in the service of our particular agenda? You completely lose any basis for any rational moral decision making if there is no such thing as truth that can be discovered.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you would say that, but there was a critic who said recently the Constitution is trash, and he's a legal affairs editor, as I understand it, for a liberal magazine, but he said the Constitution is trash. You know, well, what do you do with trash? You throw it out. There was a Georgetown professor who said recently something like, you know, how is it that we're being bound by this, you know, this 240 or whatever year old document by a bunch of dead white guys or whatever? In other words, she didn't say all those things, but basically it's the same idea that we shouldn't be bound by the Constitution anymore.
Right. Yeah. So there's, but it wouldn't be just the Constitution, would it? It would be any binding moral imperative. So the idea behind that Georgetown professor's statement is that she wants to decide her own truth. And if she feels that the current system does not turn out the way she wants, wow, or give her the power that she prefers that she would have, then tear down the system rather than try to figure out how to discover what's actually true.
Okay, if somebody claimed that there is no such thing as truth, then let me ask you a question. How could they say that the Holocaust was wrong, that it was evil for the Nazis to systematically kill Jews and Gypsies and Slavs and, you know, non-conforming Christians or whatever, because they wanted to basically create the master race?
This is a really important question. It's one that's easier for older adults to resolve than younger adults. Let me tell you what happens when a generation is grown up believing that there is no such thing as truth that can be known for certain. They don't say the Nazis were wrong because what they did was immoral. They say the Nazis were wrong because they lost. Ah. And I ask this question. I've asked this of thousands of young adults in all kinds of settings. And the answer is universally the same every single time. How do you know the Nazis were wrong? The answer is because they lost. So I follow up that question and ask, so if the Nazis had won, they would have been right? And the students say, yes, that's where we are.
Well, how do you change that? I mean, I know that you deal with young people, you know, in Summit Ministries, and you could describe that briefly, but how do you change, let's say there's somebody, the student that comes in thinking the truth is relative. How do you bring about, you know, a positive biblical worldview in that person's mind if they're willing to?
Right. Yes. And if they're willing is kind of the key thing, because there are some people who can never recognize truth because it doesn't fit their preconceptions of what ought to exist. So you can give them all the best arguments in the world. They will not pay attention to them. Wow. That's why we always say truth is available to people who are willing to search for it and who are not otherwise bound by previous preconceptions. Okay. So the students at Summit Ministries, when they come here for 2 weeks, they're in an intensive program, understanding a biblical worldview and applying it to every area of life. Some of them come in as doubters. So we begin by starting with the Bible. How do we know the Bible is true? What does the Bible say about the nature of God and about the nature of reality? What can we know to be true about biblical principles and moral truths? In the same way, there are certain things we can know to be true about the physical world. If I were to say to someone, hey, did you know that water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level? It would not be reasonable for that person to reply to me, well, you know, keep your opinions to yourself. That wouldn't make any sense. But in the same way that there are scientific facts, in the same way there are historical facts, there are moral facts. We can know what is true about the nature of reality. It's hard. We have to study hard. We have to think about it. We have to pray. We have to seek wise counsel from other people. But we can have a sense of direction in life. Now, I usually end up, Jerry, starting with a sense of direction, because to me that's hugely important for this generation. 75% of young adults say they do not believe that they have a sense of purpose that gives them meaning in life. 53% say they regularly struggle with anxiety and depression. Hmm. And I tell them, the worldview you have been led to embrace is betraying you, and you're the one who has to decide whether you will consider an alternative.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's interesting. For the last 3 or 4 years, I've been repeating some 30 biblical truths in the morning and in the evening. I've made a list and I've gone through them. But one of them is this: the Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. That's a quote from one of the Psalms. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. I didn't realize that so many people are needing that purpose.
I think young adults especially struggle with that. But, you know, I know a lot of young people in their 20s. I work with 20-somethings a lot. Many of them struggle. They got out of college. They have a huge student loan debt. Their job is not paying what they had thought they would be paid. They aren't really enjoying it. And they're wondering what the purpose of their lives might be. A lot of people my age, middle age, thinking, wow, I spent my career doing something that just made some money. I seem to have spent most of it, saved a little bit of it. When things come right down to it, has there been any point to all of this? Midlife crisis. There's an end of life crisis where people get to the end of their lives and think, boy, that went really fast and I didn't do the things that I should have and I'm filled with regrets. I ruined relationships or whatever else. So at every point of our lives, we need to have a sense of purpose that gives us meaning in life. And the biblical worldview says that purpose is the reason you want that sense of purpose is because you were made in the image of a purposeful God who specifically designed you and prepared you to be someone who could relate and create in the same way that God is a relator and a creator.
Wow. Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. Are you an optimist or pessimist when it comes to the future of America?
Well, you know the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. The pessimist says it can't possibly get any worse. And the optimist says, oh, yes, it can.
But
yeah, so I think we're in a tough spot. I do sense that the secular worldview that dominates the culture has begun to run its course. People are recognizing that there must be something out there that gives meaning in our lives. If we say things are not the way they ought to be, it's because we have a sense of oughtness. Where did that sense of oughtness come from? If we can communicate the truth, we can make the difference. Here's the problem, Jerry. In all of the polls that we have done at Summit Ministries, you can go to summit.org, to the press room, you'll be shocked. 1/3 of people in America say, I know the truth, but I don't say anything so as not to offend anyone. As long as that 1/3 stays silent, I doubt very much is going to change.
Wow. Okay, wow. Well, it's great to talk with you, and we look forward to your book, Truth Changes Everything. In 30 seconds, you want to say anything about the book?
The book makes the claim that truth exists, and it's not just a mathematical formula or a set of logical propositions. It's a person. It's Jesus. And people who believe that change the world in science, art, education, justice, politics. I tell all of the stories, many of which, probably most of which, you have never heard before, but to demonstrate the power of a Christian worldview lived out in every area of life.
So worldview matters at the end of the day. So a lot of these conflicts, really, Dr. Myers, we're seeing are worldview conflicts, aren't they?
Every conflict, I think, is at root a worldview conflict, because we all have a religion. Every person is religious. We all have a set of beliefs about the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. And there's no such thing as neutral. We have to continually be able to make arguments for why we see things the way we do, engage with other people who see it differently, love them as our neighbor because we love God. And when we do those things and we're patient and persistent, history shows that you can make a tremendous difference.
Excellent. Dr. Jeff Myers, summit.org for more information. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.